Some of you older folks will understand. You can tell the younger folks later. Years ago, when you were in a grocery store checkout line, this is long before self-checkout was even a dream. And they had mechanical cash registers. You punched it in. You get up there and you're waiting in the grocery line. And there's a nice lady ahead of you with the usual amount of groceries. And now I don't know if you've ever done this, tested to look and see what the best line to get into was. If you remember when they first came out with a drive-through banking. In our little town, they had two lanes. I never got it right. I always accused the person ahead of me of getting a mortgage through the drive-through. It took so long. Rarely do you find the right girl. So you see this lady with a nice, normal amount, a semi-cart full of groceries. She looks halfway intelligent. You think she could have the ability to put her groceries up on that belt and get that belt to the cashier. And then she steps up to the lady, the checker lady. Now listen, this goes back a ways to mechanical things. And this is when everything was much more analog. She gets up to the cash register and she pulls out a fat envelope out of her purse. There's a little paper sticking out in all different directions out of this fat envelope. And back in the day, you had to put the coupon with the thing you were couponing. And so, as the cashier is trying to get through this, there's no scanners. She's got to look at it. You know, 99 cents. You put 99 cents. And so she's got a coupon for one thing and the other, and you're like, And then this next item comes up, and the worst thing ever, I think I have a coupon for that. And suddenly she's rustling around in this huge envelope of coupons that she spent half her life cutting out. And it is like a great victory has been won when she finds that 5 cent coupon. Now her coffee is not $1.99, it's $1.94. Hallelujah. She has won the victory. And you're standing there like, I would have given her a nickel just so I didn't have to see this. And after 15 long minutes, she's finally done. And she has this look on her face like, I have just saved my family from poverty. And I've saved $2 at the grocery store, and won't my husband be proud? All the while, like me, I've already grown a beard waiting. Now, as time marched on, the point-of-sale machines grew more digital. And it wasn't quite so bad. The lady pulled out the fat envelope still. But she could hand them all at once. Until they get on. Now that lady is eyeballing the receipt. She said, no, I had a coupon for that. And the checker said, I don't know, it didn't come up. Oh, no, I had a coupon for that. Cashier, no, I'm not sure you did. She goes, hold on. And back we go to the long and drawn out looking through the fat envelope. All the while you're waiting there patiently, you've read all the magazines that are right there. What Princess Di did. Elvis is still alive. As time marched on, the checkout thing became much more digital, to the point now in many grocery stores, I don't know, some of you old people still use paper coupons, but I don't know even about paper coupons anymore. And you can have the same fight, but, you know, everything's digital. You have to have the app. Hate the Safeway app, by the way. Terrible app. Fries is a little better, but not much. Okay? And, by the way, you are looking at a Costco member. I have signed my life away to Costco. And now I can get Costco cake. Hallelujah. Costco is no place to buy ice cream. You don't buy ice cream at Costco. Problem with fries here. They hardly have internet in the place. You go to scan, and it doesn't come up. And it doesn't matter how hard I yell at the cashier, she don't care. She said, well, maybe come back tomorrow. Maybe it'll work tomorrow. But there is something real. I have a point. There is something real about redeeming a coupon. There's some feeling. Now, Debbie and coupons are allergic to one another. I always thought it would be a good deal for her to... No. No. My wonderful wife, how long have we been married? 104 years? Is that... No. She'll bring groceries home. I say, hey, how much you pay for this? I have no idea. What do you mean you have no idea? I needed it. So I got it. Yeah, but did you? No, I didn't. Well, what about? No. 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 How much you pay for gas? I have no idea. I needed gas. I put the thing in there and squeezed it. That's the way she is. But there is something that goes through you when you've redeemed coupons. You like look at the people behind you like, I had a coupon and you don't. I am a successful shopper. I stand in doubt of you, sir, if you don't have some digital coupons going on. There's something wonderful about it. I saved 19 cents and you didn't. Now listen, no matter when you grew up, you got the same newspaper inserts. Sometimes you got the direct mailings of save this or save that. The colorful ones. They're the only ones with full color. With a coupon little booklet. You got the same exact coupons. Everybody got the same exact coupons, but not everybody redeemed them. Only the lady with a fat envelope or a good iPhone or whatever the other one is. You redeemed them and they didn't. I'm saying the same opportunity is for everybody if you want it. And what about those people that make it their life's work to coupon? You think they were king of the world. They walk out full thing of groceries singing. They're singing like, this only cost me $2. This one. Yes, but you got 22 rolls of toilet paper that you do not need for the next year. I don't care. I redeem my coupons. Everybody has options to redeem the coupons. Some do and some don't. Jesus has provided for us so many times that he provided the coupon for us. It's up to us to activate it or to redeem it. There is something on our part. Jesus has done everything that needs to be done, but there is something on our part to redeem the benefits of the Lord. You need to know the coupons. There's a great big fat coupon best coupon in the universe. There's no better coupon. Hebrews 9:11 says, "But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. By his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" He has obtained eternal redemption. I use the coupon thing because it's something that we can understand. Christ paid the price for the coupon to be printed and to become valid. Has it ever hurt your heart when you... One time I had a coupon. Deb said, "Hey, I got a coupon for that." So I said, "I'll take it. I know you're allergic. I'll take it." And you give them the coupon. They say, "Oh, it's expired." But I'm telling you, the redemption that Jesus purchased for you never expires. Hallelujah. His blood is as strong today as it ever was. Glory to God. He entered one time into the holy place. We don't need the idea of transubstantiation that the Roman Catholics do, where they hold up the priest holds up the host, and as if it becomes the body and blood of Jesus. We don't need it. He already did it one time for all time. The price has been paid. To redeem something is to make it valid. It means to ransom something, that you've paid the price for it. When he says he bought eternal redemption for those that believe, the scripture didn't stutter. It is not confused. It is absolutely true. The idea, some preach, in my opinion, very erroneously, is that Jesus, after he went to the cross, had to be born again because of the sin factor. No, he was without spot and without blemish. It wasn't his sin, it was my sin. I'm the one that needs to be born again. Hallelujah. How much more shall the blood of Christ purge us from dead works to serve a living God? Your life can be redeemed from garbage to good things. It doesn't matter how deep the garbage pile is. This coupon gets you out of the garbage. Hallelujah. Peter says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in 1 Peter 1:18, "For as much as we know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but what were we redeemed with? With the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." And then we rejoice in Revelation chapter 5. "And when he had taken the book," Revelation chapter 5. I'm jumping into the middle of something. They're looking for someone to open the book. "And the Lamb of God steps forward and says, when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. You want to know what happens to your prayers? Okay. Revelation 5:8. And verse 9, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Thou hast redeemed us out of every place. We just read it in Acts chapter 15, the council in Jerusalem, dealing with the gospel going to the Gentiles. The Jews, it was, even the believing Jews got their noses pushed in a little bit when Peter said, God said, go to the Gentiles. And then when Paul and Barnabas really did it, they were a little bent. They were like, I feel like they need to be circumcised. If you ask me, the Abraham and that, they need to be circumcised. I think that would be a good. By the way, I think they ought to just follow the law of Moses as well, just so they don't forget it was us Jews that did them a good turn. And after debate at that council in Acts chapter 15, they said, nonsense. This gospel is for everybody, and it's for everybody freely. When Jesus died on the cross, he just didn't redeem the Jewish people or the Israelites. He redeemed the entire world, if you want it. He printed the coupon for the entire world for all time. He printed that coupon that we might be redeemed from the tyranny of an enemy who hates you. He bought you back. What is he talking about? Let me tell you what I'm talking about. We're talking Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 is what we're talking about. Genesis 3, we have a problem. But Genesis 1 and 2, Adam and Eve stood before the Lord, perfectly innocent, perfectly righteous, because they were made in his image. Perfectly in fellowship with God. And Jesus came to redeem us back to pre-fall conditions in our soul. I'm going to tell you a little bit about some other issues. But to redeem our soul back to pre-fall time of Adam and Eve, that the fellowship, the pure fellowship they had with God would be restored, because Jesus redeemed it through his blood. You are not outcast. You're not on the outside looking in. You are, regardless of the color of skin or first language or whatever. Hallelujah. I'm so glad I'm part of the family of God. Hallelujah. I've been washed in the blood. Hallelujah. I'm in. I don't know if my granddaddy did. I'm in. I don't know about my relatives of long ago, but I'm in. I don't know what the generations would do after me, but I know I've been redeemed. Hallelujah. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. To be redeemed, to be repurchased, to be ransomed for. That something that was held or bound is now free. It's not bound anymore. We've got to get back to preaching that when you get saved, you're redeemed. No sin holds sway over you any longer. No bondage keeps your soul there. No, it cannot. I've been redeemed. Some of you ought to stand up and look the devil in the eye and say, I've been redeemed. You can tempt me, but I've been redeemed. Hallelujah. I'm not my own. I didn't pay my own price. Jesus, the Son of God, paid the price for me. Hallelujah. I don't have enough gold and silver. It won't work anyway because that's corruptible. But I've been redeemed by his blood. And when Jesus was on the cross, I was on his mind. Free. The scripture says that the Israelites were redeemed from Egyptian slavery. When they walked out of Egypt and into God's plan, it says in my Bible the Israelites were redeemed from the Egyptians. Now they were God's people. They were under the thumb of the Egyptians. But now they're in the wilderness, but they're in the wilderness with the Lord. It says the same thing in describing the Jews coming back from Babylon into the homeland of Israel. They came back from there, that they were redeemed out of Babylon. Hallelujah. We're not under the thumb of Nebuchadnezzar or the kings that followed him any longer. We're back home. Hallelujah. We've been redeemed back to serve the Lord. Now, when you turn your life over to Jesus, those things that were held by the enemy are now set free in Jesus. I know it's a popular thing, well, your life is a journey, and I guess it is. But you don't take a little slight angle when you come to Jesus. You don't. It's a sharp 180 degree turn. I have no fellowship with demons anymore. I don't drink what demons drink. I don't talk like the demons talk. I don't walk like the demons walk. I don't treat people like the demons treat people. I make a 180 degree turn. I was going that way on my way to hell, and now I'm going a totally different way on my way to glory. The path to hell is a line. The path to heaven is a line, and never the two shall meet. The path to hell is a line. I don't know if you've done any geometry. I had the most boring geometry teacher in the world. 10th grade geometry, Pythagorean, right angles. He had this droning voice. And he didn't really care if you listened or not. He turned his back and he would write things out on the chalkboard. You need to know this, and you need to know that. And we're just like some of you right now. You ever have the spirit of slumber come on you in church? It's like, a line is an infinity thing. A line with an arrow end of it says it goes this way, and it goes, and there's no end to that line. Well, you have a line to hell, and it goes for eternity. And there's a line to heaven, and that goes for eternity too. And it really makes a difference what line you're on. Jesus paid the price. Paid the price for anybody who wants to get off this train to get on that train. He redeems you. He's bought the ticket for you. You got to go get it. Hallelujah. Jesus redeems your soul. By faith, all of your sins have been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. You are bound. Listen carefully. You are no longer bound by Satan or his plans for you. All right, I'll say it again. Maybe somebody other than Chris will get it. You are no longer bound by Satan or his plans. His plans for you are null and void. His plans cannot come to fruition because you're redeemed. And every time he gets you to fear or have anxiety or worry about stuff, he's trying to convince you that you're not redeemed. And you need to remind the devil and the temptations that you face and the circumstances you're in who you are. And you are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And so Satan's plans don't work against you. Oh, somebody ought to shout. Hallelujah. That life that was bound for hell has been transferred to the road of heaven. We are to understand this, but we have to live it as well. I live as a redeemed person, so I'm on the path to heaven. That's why I can't go towards heaven while doing hellish things. We got a bunch of folks, and the preachers don't say a thing about it. They're like this. And it's getting wider and wider. And I don't want to go any further. There's a lot of people doing splits. They like the idea of going to heaven, but they want to have fun too. is getting wider and wider. Honey, it will not work. You'll end up broken. That's why we're different. We don't live like the people on the road to hell. We don't talk like them. We don't look. We don't dress like them. I said we don't dress like them. We have respect when we come in the house of God. This kingdom of heaven is no sloppy business. It's not sloppy business. It's not hoodies. You say, oh, pass the old fuddy-duddy. I think you just like wearing suits and all that. I don't know if I like wearing suits or not. I just know one thing. I better come buttoned up, not just in my dress, but in my soul. But when I come to church, I come to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What should I look like? It's not a casual meeting. Brother Jamie preached a great message some time ago. We're a little bit too casual with our worship. Honey, understand who we're entertaining here. Now, I don't say this is us, but I do have some experience where you can kind of let the housework go. Especially you get older, you let the housework go. But if someone's coming over, suddenly Debbie has all this energy. I got to clean it. And it's like, you walk in the windows. I ain't going to let it see the light. I got to clean the house up, man. Somebody's coming over. Well, honey, we come together here. And we have come to bless the Lord. We ask for His presence to be in the house. We ought to clean stuff. We ought to be right for this thing. This is not a little thing. It's not a casual conversation. We're having some serious business when we ask the Holy Spirit to come in here. We have received the blood of Jesus to redeem us. Hallelujah! I'm not like I was. I am not. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things became new because I'm on a different road. I be on the road to heaven looking like I'm on the road to hell. That doesn't make sense. Why should I talk like I'm on the road to hell if I'm on the road to heaven? Get on the road to heaven. Don't be ashamed of the road to heaven. Don't be ashamed, ladies, if you got to wear something underneath your dress because it's cut too low. Don't be ashamed, sir, if you don't want to look like a slob in church. Don't be ashamed. I'm on the road to heaven. I'm not going to join in your little dirty jokes. I'm on the way to heaven. Your dirty jokes are on the way to hell. I'm not on that route. Don't laugh at your stupid stuff. I've been redeemed. I love that old song. The kids say, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, filled with the Holy Ghost. I am. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. Oh, you can't get to heaven. No, I won't get there. Your soul has been redeemed. Let me tell you something else that's been redeemed. Your mind. My Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that I can have the mind of Christ. How many of your thoughts this week would be identified as the mind of Christ? Well, maybe you haven't cashed that coupon in just yet. We're shaken with fear. We're weeping our eyes out because of a difficult situation. All the while, you're actually redeemed. It's the devil lying to you. It's the circumstance lying to you that you're not going to make your way out. But my mind has been redeemed. I get to think the thoughts of Jesus. I don't have to agree with the lies of the enemy. He'll still lie to you. I just don't agree with him. He's redeemed me from the wrong thought life. Have you ever felt left out, maybe the one always looking on rather than participating. You perhaps you were demeaned as you were a kid. If you're an only child, you might not have suffered demeaning actions or words if you had really nice cousins. But if there is one more than one child in your family, you're going to understand what being demeaned or put down is. It doesn't matter if you're the oldest or the youngest. The younger one usually carries a sharper sword. But sometimes that sinks in. And then you think that you're always the one on the outside looking in, and there's always something wrong with you, and it's, you know, not quite right, and the devil plays on that, and he makes you think that your ears are bigger than they really are. They're really not satellite dishes. You really can't ski on your nose. And you all know this, it's nothing. But I grew up with a hair lip, cleft palate, but a hair lip. And a Jewish doctor did my surgery for free, and it looks like it. And I was always self-conscious about it. I had some of the greatest stories, because people who didn't know me said, "Oh, what happened to your lip?" I was a professional boxer. I got in a fight and somebody broke a bottle, and I had great stories. When we got married, my wife made me grow a mustache so she wouldn't have to look at it. It's true. It's absolutely true. And, well, you know, how did I live before I could grow a mustache? But anyway, but there's always that little thing there, like, is that guy looking at my lip? One time I preached, I don't know where it was, but I preached among strangers. A lot of strangers there. It wasn't my home church. And I preached, and a guy comes up to me. "Man, you're such an inspiration." I go, "Oh, really? Yeah." He says, "Because I have a hair lip too." It's like, oh, so the mustache didn't really work for you. Yeah. But that can give you a feeling of inadequacy, and that I'm a little worse than other people, and I should come in second, and I should be last in line. And a redeemed mind says, "No, I've been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am somebody in Him." It's not arrogancy. It's not pride. It's just knowing who you are. I've been redeemed. Hallelujah. Hair lip or not, I've been redeemed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you have a little defect in your body, and you look at yourself in the mirror and go, cut it out. You're redeemed. I'm ugly, but I'm redeemed. I'm short, but I'm shortly redeemed. Hallelujah. If you understand what Jesus has done for you and redeemed your mind, you don't have to be a think like a loser. You don't have to think like you're always on the outside. You don't have to think like I have to be bashful around people, because I've been redeemed. I know who I am. Purchased. Hallelujah. I believe not the lies of the enemy. I am no longer deceived, but I am free to think as the Lord would have me to think. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to the pulling down of the strongholds, hallelujah, and capturing every disobedient thought and bringing it under the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, if you only knew what Jesus thought of you. I said, if you and I only know what Jesus thought of us. My Bible says some man would die for a good friend or somebody, but this one, before we even knew him, he died for us. You don't get it. You don't understand. I preach about the love of God and the love of Jesus, and you don't still get it. You think he's out there trying to hurt you or harm you if you mess up. I'm telling you, he loves you with a never-ending love because he's redeemed you into his family. We are translated out of the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the price for it. Glory to God. You are redeemed if you'll believe it and walk in it. You are redeemed and you ought to walk like a redeemed person. But more importantly, you ought to think like a redeemed person. I don't know about you, but the devil likes to come at me with these thoughts. Oh, all is lost. This is never going to figure itself out. All is lost. I can remember we're trying to build this church. We're up against it financially. And it's like, I don't know, man. I don't know. And it was kind of, it sat here for a week. Nothing was happening. And the devil says, you'll always be known for the guy who couldn't finish the church. You didn't count the cost. You're the man who couldn't build the tower, finish the tower. You started the tower, and you can't finish the tower. All is lost. Loser. I've been redeemed. I swear the Lord took his big hand and smacked the devil across his face. And he said, listen, this young man is mine. I called him here, and I'll make sure the work gets done. The next week somebody sold a car, somebody sold something else. God began to do miracles. You know the story about the people who put the roof on and all the trusses on and all of that. One boom, 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 boom. And what I found out is true. The devil's a liar. Every time he opens his mouth, he's a liar. Your life has been redeemed. No matter the circumstances today that you're living in, you are redeemed. So then what causes me to fear? Why should I spend time worrying? Why worry when you can pray? Why should you spend emotional energy on worrying and being afraid? It's another lie. Because my life is no longer my own. I've been bought with a price. I can pray, and the Lord hears my prayers because I've been redeemed. I said, I can pray, and the Lord hears my prayers. We read about it. They're poured out in front of the throne room. He knows what to do with them. I've been redeemed. Now, there is redemption power for your body, but our physical bodies have not been totally redeemed yet. According to Romans chapter 8 and verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Maybe our body isn't totally redeemed yet, but the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities. He comes alongside us, hallelujah, with healing in his arm. For we know not what we should pray for as we want, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We may suffer under the curse of the land in our physical bodies for a little bit. But soon, and very soon, your body and my body will be 100% redeemed. Jesus will return in the sky. And this old one less tooth mouth, this body that had to go to doctors and nurses, take medicine out of the medicine cabinet, no longer will be needed because our bodies will be totally redeemed. Hallelujah. Gentlemen, everybody have hair. Ladies, you won't need to go to the bottle to get a nice color on your head. You'll have the perfect head that the Lord gave you, head of hair. Your body will reveal. You'll have no pain. There'll be nothing in your joints that are sore. Your body shall be redeemed to the original eternal state. It will live forever. Your resurrected body is a redeemed body, and that's why they must come out of the grave, because their body has been redeemed. Soon and very soon. One other thing that's not been totally redeemed yet, and that's the earth. But one of these days, Jesus and those that follow Him will step out of the New Jerusalem, and they will come down to this earth and redeem the earth and restore it to pristine condition as the Lord originally intended it. All the Mars, all of the attacks of human evil will be taken away, and we'll have a redeemed earth. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, the great Redeemer. It will be redeemed. Hallelujah. Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, it'll be redeemed to a wonderful state that you and I can live in. I'm going to ask you a question as my musicians come. And it's a serious question. Are you living the redeemed life? Are you walking in the redemption of Jesus? For one must grab a hold of it. You must believe and trust in Him. I can tell you firsthand, the devil hates the redeemed. He hates us with a passion, and I don't care. Let him hate. I know where he's going. I got his address already. It's a bottomless pit. I got his address. Hallelujah. The devil hates the redeemed. But my Bible says out of Isaiah, therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. I don't think that's just in the future. I've already been redeemed. My soul, I can come. Sorrow and mourning shall flee away. I know some of you have lost dear loved ones over the last time or so, but you do not need to live in the mires of sorrow. You don't have to mourn your rest of your life away. We know you loved your loved one, your wife, your husband, your child, your mom and dad. We know you loved them, but glory to God, you've got something going for you that's greater than that, and that's your redeem. That's why we come in joy. And so this morning, we're going to sing a little song up here. And if there's something in your life that you need to redeem, there's something that still causes fear to rise up in your soul, there's still a trick that the enemy continues to play and he suckers you in, you need to get the Redeemer on that and get redeemed. The only reason you're not is because you haven't cashed in the coupon. You're not an exception. Well, it works for everybody else but me. Nonsense. The Holy Ghost is here. And in a minute, He'll redeem you. I don't know how long it takes for a cashier to take that coupon and stick it on something and say, all right, we get 10 cents. Oh, not very long. It's about as long as it takes for Jesus to redeem you. You can walk out of here not afraid of tomorrow. You can walk out of here not concerned. Oh, yes, your finances don't change just because you come to this altar. But you can walk out redeemed and say, no, the Lord's got this. The Lord's got my family. I believe you should pray for the prodigals and pray for your families not serving them. But you shouldn't worry. Dale, we shouldn't worry about that. You give them over to the Lord, whatever it takes. I'm going to live my life as a redeemed person.
Son, if you want to be stupid and live it as unredeemed, if you want to travel the road to hell, that's up to you. But I'm going to live as a redeemed person. I'm going to pray that you turn yourself around. But I tell you what, I'm not going with you. If you're going that way, I'm not going. I'm not going to support you in that way. Is this microphone on? I'm not going to support you in your way. I'm not going a different direction here. Hallelujah. As we sing this, if there's a redemption thing in your life that needs to take place, just find a place at this altar. I will guarantee you Jesus will meet you here. And He'll give you joy for your sorrow. He'll give you confidence for your fear. He'll give you wisdom for your confusion. Let Him take your mind again, would you please? We're going to sing, and as we sing, I want you to come. You're not coming to me. You're coming to the Master, the Redeemer. Hallelujah.
I am redeemed. I've been bought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. If anybody asks you just who I am, you can tell them I am.